to the Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor the Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Welcome to The Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia Alcoury.
And I'm Cathy Weston.
Now, on this week's show, we're talking about inspirational mums, or mums, who are managing the balance between being a primary caregiver and doing exceptional things at the same time. And sometimes we mean that quite literally, don't
That's
we?
That's right. And this show's basically a celebration of great things that mums manage to do alongside parenting. Now, none of these mums who agreed to be on this show knowing it was about being inspirational, because they're all far too modest, Lydia, but because they want to share the ways, good and bad, they find to manage a life outside being a parent.
Now, we'll be talking to four mums from Harpenden in just a minute who set up a website called Mum's Guide to Harpenden. If you don't know it already, that's Alison, Angela, Carol and Katie. And they'll be on in just a moment. Then we'll be speaking to Caroline Jones, who has a pop-up club called Rewind, because she set it up because she's a mum of three who still wants to dance. Believe it or not, there's people out
there. Shocking!
Yeah. Then we're going to move into academia and talk to Jenny Warra Lynch, who is a mum doing her PhD, and she's a mother of two at the same time. And her PhD is mind-blowing.
Something unpronounceable.
We're just going to get her to explain that to you, because it's over our head.
And then we'll be speaking to two amazing women who set about breaking a Guinness World Record last weekend in St Albans, but we'll make you wait for them.
And last up, we'll be talking to Kathleen Ball, who is a mum of two from Hemel Hempstead, and she is on an epic cycle challenge from London to Paris as we speak, and she's doing it in aid of St Francis Hospice in Berkhamsted. Now, she's en route, she's somewhere in France.
Yeah,
having
she's travelled like 150 miles over the last 2 days, and she's going to speak to us from her hotel room.
When she should probably, she should be fast asleep, but she'll be talking to us. So that'll be coming towards the end of the show. But first up, as we promised, now we have the Harpenden, the Mum's Guide to Harpenden, in the studio as we speak. Ladies, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Very well, thank you.
I'm sure listeners have probably gathered. You know, there's a lot of them in here. The whole crew, the whole team.
All the brains behind the operation. Yeah. Now, there's Alison, Angela, Carol and Katie. You're all mums. There's 12 children between the four of you.
Wow. Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
We all have three each, yeah.
Three. Oh, very neat. That's very neat. Three each. Fantastic. Listen, I'll start. Why did you set up the Mum's Guide to Harpenden?
I think the short answer to that is because we could, actually. We had a coffee one morning and we were chatting, and Katie had been away, lucky her, for 6 months in the States, and she had been talking about finding things for the boys to do when she was out there and using guides and resources that were there. And we said, wouldn't it be great if we had something like that for Harpenden, because there's so much going on in Harpenden and in around about, and so many resources. And we sat there and we had a few biscuits and a few coffees and went, do you know what, we could do this. Why don't we do this? But, you know, we've all spent our time searching the internet for everything and been frustrated when it's not there. And so we thought, let's solve this problem and let's do it. And we had the skills and the knowledge, and so we did.
Uh-huh. When you talk about those skills, because between you, not only do you have 12 children, but you've got a multitude of skills. What sort of skills and backgrounds did you all have?
Well, Alison, who just spoke, is our technical guru, and she is just amazing with the computer. The rest of us are sort of trying to learn off her, but we keep going to her every day with questions. Carol is our legal eagle.
Yes, I'm the one that always tells them we can't do something because it might not be a good idea.
Do you restrain them when they're coming out?
Yeah, so I restrain them, so I look at all the legal aspects to everything and say no, we can't do that, or yes, we can do that.
Yeah. Angela is our marketing, amazing marketing person, and she knows how to get all our adverts in, and you know, and she's the one who's going to make us all our money. Aren't you, Angela?
I have to say, the Mum's Guide to Harpenden ads are everywhere. They're popping up everywhere, aren't they, Lydia?
That's what we like to hear. Absolutely.
And not forgetting Katie, who's fantastic with
at
a
making
pen.
Tea.
And making tea. No, but she's got fantastic writing skills. She's so great.
So she's the modest one.
She's the best. Way with words. And she's the one that does all our Facebook
and our social media. So, very, which is actually really key to the business.
And I'm sure people are thinking as well, well. Were you friends initially, or did you begin this adventure and sort of become friends?
No, we are. We started off as friends, and we all met actually in a music class, and well, a couple of us through NCT as well. And you know, we used to meet regularly for coffee with the children, and now we meet regularly with the children, usually in tow, the little ones while the others are at school. But instead of just chatting generally, we're usually having meetings about Mum's Guide and what we need to do to take it forward. So yeah, we're all good friends. And
I think a lot of women listening will think, well, how on earth do they do this when their children are at school? You've mentioned having children around when you have meetings. Yeah. What happens, as it always does, when a drama arises in one of your lives with a child, you have to run and pick them up from school or one of them's ill? How do you manage the sort of the team aspect of that?
I think we all have, yeah, we all have crises at times. And you know, and because there's four of us, it means that if somebody's away or there's a problem, somebody else picks up the slack. And so it works well because there's four of us and we can all do the necessary things. But we just tend to work, you know, if something needs doing and you've got a child sick at home, you do it in the evening instead, or you just do it whenever you can. But there are times when somebody's doing more work than others, but it works well because we balance each other out.
Really, yeah.
So it works out fine. But yeah, it is hard at times, I have to admit, especially when we were setting up, we were all working really hard.
Really late nights.
And we have all still got at least one child at home, not at school yet. So it is tricky, and we do sometimes drag them to meetings, but they're quite happy. They play with each other.
Because all your children are probably friends by now as well.
Yeah.
It's probably a great antidote to the whole overparenting thing, isn't it? It's like, yeah, we're having a meeting. You're not the centre of the universe for 5 minutes, you know.
Absolutely.
And I think there is a lot to be said for that. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so much role modelling. I mean, you're showing your children that mummy has something that matters to her, that she's working on, and that's useful to other people.
Actually, funny story that my son tonight had to write about someone he admired in his family, and my daughter said, I want to be like mummy because she can work on the computer. So I'm not sure whether that was good or not. That's what she sees me as doing, but there you go.
But you've got to be synced. I mean, for you to work as a team like that and for each one of you to pick up the slack from each other without there being any tension is such an achievement. I think that's, and especially when there's four, because it is a big group, you know, and it's a real testament to you all.
It is, you know, and to be honest, you know, it's hard. It's been hard work. It is hard work, but we absolutely are having an absolute ball doing it. You know, we are loving doing what we're doing, and otherwise we wouldn't be doing it. It's great. And to be honest, working with friends it sounds a bit cheesy, but we're just having such a great time working together. And hopefully it will continue.
I was just saying, we do sometimes struggle in our meetings to bring ourselves to the work bit of it. Yeah, we do have a good chat first, and then
I think we're rolling up. We can definitely. What's the word?
Relate to that, yeah, on lots of levels, yeah.
The other thing that's been great as well is just meeting loads of other local mums who are all doing their businesses, their cake making and their activity classes. And, you know, we know so many people now and so many other inspirational mums.
It's fantastic. What would you highlight about Mum's Guide to Harpenden as a service, as a website, that you'd really like to flag to parents listening? What can it offer?
Oh, gosh.
Everything.
Well, I was going to say, it's got so much information on there. The trouble is, people, if you just look at it just as the homepage, you might not see everything that's behind it. But when you start clicking through, that, you know, there's so many activities, hundreds of listings of activities, there's things to do. I have to say, and there's so much more information as well, but one of my favourite bits is things like, if you want to look for an activity class that you can just drop into tomorrow with your two-year-old, you can go on there, you can put in two-year-old Friday morning, drop in, and it comes up with something, which I think, I have to say, that saved me quite a few times because I don't always remember what's on a Friday morning. And the events page is another one, which is brilliant. You know, you wake up on a Saturday morning, you think, what am I going to do today?
That's true.
It's brilliant. You can go on there and there's so many events listed. A lot of them are free, they're local, and it's fantastic.
If people are listening who have a business and they'd like to be listed on the website, what do they need to do, Alison?
They just need to go to the website and click on contact us at the bottom, send us an email, tell us about your business, and we'll send you a form and get you on there. We love to hear about new businesses.
And you're on Twitter and Facebook.
We are. We're at Mum's Guide 2 on Twitter and Mum's Guide to Harpenden on Facebook.
Brilliant.
So fantastic. Get in touch.
definitely, and we'll pop them all on our Facebook page in just a while. But what can I get your top tip about making it work with children or balancing it? What do you think is? Do you have a top idea of how it works? How you get the balance right? I've put you all on the spot now.
I don't know about a tip, but I have to say, I do most of my work in the evenings, to be honest. I'm around for them in the daytime, and then because I can't really get much done. I've got two young children at home, so I it wouldn't work for me unless I did it in the evenings. It's when I've got free time. So, you know, because I enjoy doing it, I don't mind giving up, not every evening, but, you know, keeping on top of things then. So that's when I tend to do my work. And
I think also it's that old, I can't quite remember the phrase, but when you're very busy, you tend to get more, you get busier. you know, you give more work to a busy woman, yeah, I think. And I think that's how we work best, that, you know, the more we have to do, the more we enjoy doing it. You know, we're all such good friends that, you know, an email at 11:30 at night is, you know, it's not going to break our friendships. It's common event.
I do think we have to be, like, I know that I find I have to be quite careful about, it's quite easy to check my emails constantly, even when the kids are around, and I've had to definitely think, right, no, now is the child's time, and I will do that later when they're having an afternoon nap or this evening. I think that's one thing I have had to learn over the time, actually, to try and actually switch off and work for a bit and spend time with the children.
Yeah, I think we've discovered that meetings at Big Space are great.
That's the secret. I'm not sure that's in the same vein. But and constantly answering your phone or constantly checking your phone it does make you jumpy and distracted, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely, yeah.
Sorry, Alison.
So I know, just my other top tip would be lists. Just writing lists. You know, you keep everything prioritised, so you only do the things that you really have to do if you know, the time is precious or the you know, the children are around. You think, well, I'll do these two emails and then I'll go whatever, you know, else you have
Brilliant.
To do.
Well done, you're doing a great job. It's a fantastic website.
Absolutely.
And a great resource.
Great service.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
Our pleasure.
Now, very, very lastly, is there anyone you want to say hello to at home in Harpenden?
Oh, gosh, here we go.
The children!
Here we go.
And the husbands who are looking up, putting the children to bed. hello, Daniel, Emma and Matthew and Ben.
Hello, Jack, Ollie and Felix.
Hello, Charlotte, Harry and Natalie.
And hello, Immy, Bella and Ben.
Brilliant. Great stuff.
Thank you.
Thanks a million. Have a lovely evening.
Well done.
Thanks.
92.6 FM.
Welcome back to The Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. Now, thank you very much to the Mum's Guide to Harpenden for coming in. And now we have another lady from Harpenden. It's not all about Harpenden tonight, but just at the start of the show, we've got Caroline Jones from Rewind. And she's a self-confessed vinyl junkie, she says, who was tired of having nowhere to go to dance. And so she decided to put a dance floor in the local village hall. Explain yourself.
Yes, I put all my hand
before
up.
Before you speak, Caroline, you've got three children.
I have, yes.
Let's just preface it with that.
But I am allowed out. I do have a life. And, you know, that's really where it started. I wanted to go out. I actually want to go out in an evening and have a night out and be home by 12:30. You know, for me, it wasn't an option to go into London because I've got those, you know, three kids and babysitter's costs, etc.
And you might fall asleep in the train on the way
home. Yeah, end up in Bedford, easily done. And no, I wanted, you know, I love music. Myself, my husband really enjoy listening to music. And for me, there's nowhere to go to let your hair down. I don't really want to go and sit in an old fogey pub or go out for a meal. I want to just do things I used to do before I had kids. And Rewind's done that for me, and so quite selfishly I set it up.
Tell us a little bit about how it works.
Well, you buy your ticket in advance. We do sell tickets on the door as well, and we sell them through a local deli, the Silver Palette Deli on Vaughan Road. And it's suddenly just gone viral. So I target mainly the primary schools, and I'll just go and hand flyers out. I target all the schools, and everyone knows me, and I hand out these yellow flyers. And and then you get big groups of mums saying, oh, we're going to have our PTA night out there, or we're going to have our Christmas do. And before I knew it, you know, we had 150 people through the door. And I knew that I was onto something.
And it's all 30-somethings with kids.
Yeah, we play a complete cross-section of music, but it has to be cool music. We don't play anything that's... In fact, we have a chalkboard, and people can put their own requests on the chalkboard.
I like the
idea.
And
they love that. We play old stuff. We play 60s, 70s, up to the 90s and current stuff as well. But mainly people want to listen to 80s and 90s. That seems to be the trend.
Perfect. And so... And there's a pay bar there as well, and there's
alcohol. Yes, there's alcohol a pay bar, and we pop up. The idea of pop up, the concept of popping up. I don't know whether your listeners are sort of familiar with that. We don't always stay at the same venue, and the idea is that we want to move around. So when I started, we did it in a village hall. We put on our own bar, and now we're getting larger numbers coming, and it's quite an effort actually to put on a bar and clear up. So now we go to the Royal British League. In Harpenden on Leighton Road, and they have a pay bar, and we finish at midnight.
Fantastic. Because I mean, to be honest, we have to be honest about it. If you've got to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning and start doing breakfasts for a bunch of kids, you can't survive much longer than midnight.
No, anyway. I've done a few of those, and it was too much. So we realised, no, well, let's find a different alternative. And that's the beauty of being able to sort of move to different places.
Caroline, do you have parents from outside Harpenden as well?
Yeah, we do. We have Wheat Hampstead parents, Redbourne. We have some St Albans parents. In fact, my DJ, my regular DJ, he's from St Albans. He's got an amazing name. Am I allowed to give you his name?
Oh, yeah.
His DJ name is Vinyl Richie, which I think wins the name for all DJs.
I love it. Does he actually play vinyls?
Yes, of course. Really? Yeah. And we have guest DJs as well. We have... we've had the Olympic swimmer Mark Foster. He DJed for us at Christmas with his friend. It's great to put vinyl on. You know, that's what it's all about. I'm a kid of the 80s, and I used to have a stack of singles and albums.
And what would you say are the most requested songs by this group of parents?
What do we play? Human League, Depeche Mode, Madonna.
Bit of Stone Roses.
Or Bit of Stone Roses, The Smiths.
Prodigy.
Men love The Smiths. Bit of Prodigy. We've played Get Lucky recently. That always gets requested. Stone Roses. Bit of Rock and Roll.
Yeah. Yeah. When is the next one? Very importantly.
Very important question. Next one is the 21st of September.
Great.
So we're leaving it for the summer now because obviously people are coming into the summer holidays. We're back on the Saturday, the 21st of September at the Royal British Legion.
And how frequently do you do them?
Well, at the moment, that will be our third that we've done this year. And then we've got the big one on the 14th of December. That's going to be... from my experience, that will be the one that we get big groups of people coming to.
And how do you make this work with having three children?
It doesn't actually bother me. I mean, it's in the evening. I get sitters. I do all my marketing after school drop off. I flood the market, flood the schools with my posters. I work around my children. You know, I am fundamentally a mum, a stay at home mum, but I'm willing to put in the hours that I need to, and talking to people, Facebooking, tweeting, all those sort of viral activities. You can do that walking down the street and do that waiting for the school.
Caroline, would you say, because I'm sure a lot of listeners are thinking, I don't have the confidence to do those sorts of things, to just set up something or join a team or to say I've got those skills. I mean, what advice would you give to mums maybe listening who don't feel so confident?
Yeah, I mean, pairing up with somebody, sharing your skill base is always a good idea. But if you've got an idea, I would say just do it. Especially once you've had kids and you've come out of that period of, you get your confidence back, just have a go, write a plan, test it on some friends. That would be my starting point, actually, is the friends that can give you the honest advice. Test it and have a go, and so what if you fail? But you've had a go and you've tried at something.
Yeah, I think that's great advice, isn't
Absolutely. And it's fantastic beginning. I mean, there are so many clever professional women in St Albans and Harpenden and West Hertfordshire who want to have children and want to do some work as well. So finding that balance is so difficult. And I think everybody struggles with it. And it seems to be all or nothing. You either have a full-time job or you don't work.
Or you don't
and
work.
Neither is ideal.
I know. And I recognise that. And I know this. I only do four or five a year. But that's enough for me at the moment. But it might be that I take it the next step, which is what we want to do, is take it to St Albans, take it to Berkhamsted, Wheathampstead, and you know, take the format and do that. But I'll do it when I feel ready and when I've got, you know, everything in place.
And you can do it at your own pace, can't you?
Yeah.
Which is the lovely thing about doing any of these initiatives, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, I knew that it was a success when I turned around at one of the nights and I didn't recognise anybody. None of my friends were there anymore. There were people who, you know, people who wanted to be there.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, so...
Well, well done you.
Thank you.
Great stuff. And thanks so much for joining us,
Caroline.
It was a pleasure. We'll pop your website up on our Facebook
Brilliant.
Page.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Just mention it to us briefly.
Yeah, please. So I've got a Facebook page, which is Rewind Pop-Up Club. Perfect. You can go onto there, and I'll give you my email address as well. If you want to get in touch, it's rewindclub@outlook.com.
Great stuff. Thanks a million for joining us.
Well done, Caroline. Thanks for having me.
The Community's Voice. We're Radio Verulam.
And welcome back to The Parent Show. Now, goodness me, we are progressing through all these amazing women tonight. And for a little bit of a different angle, we've got Jenny Worrell Lynch here with me in the studio. Hi, Jenny.
Hello.
And Jenny, you are doing a PhD.
I am.
Whilst also parenting two small children.
Yes, that kind of comes along with it, I think.
So this is, again, another sort of inspiration for mums who are listening who may want to study but feel, oh, having children is a barrier to that. Can you tell us a little bit about how you ended up doing a PhD and the timing of it?
Well, yes. I mean, the timing, some may say I'm guilty of bad planning, I have to say. But I went back to work after having my second child. I'd gone into work between my two children, and so I'd gone back to a job that I knew, but I'd gone back part-time, and the job had become, you know, quite a lot bigger than it was when I left, and I found I was really struggling to manage what was really a full-time job in part-time hours, and I was feeling quite low about it, didn't feel like I was able to give everything that I could, that I was letting people down at work, and then, you know, I was exhausted when I was at home. You know, it's a familiar story, I think, but
absolutely.
I had some links to the university that I'm now based in, and I'd sort of put some feelers out about, you know, the idea of maybe doing a PhD. I'd always wanted to do one. I think that was probably part of it, that, you know, I'd always said, one day I'll do a PhD. And then it kind of came to a stage where, you know, I was in quite a good career. I had two children. I thought, this is never going to happen. But then something came back to me which said, you know, that there was funding in an area of research which was sort of very well linked in with my sort of previous work, and would I be interested? And at the time I said, oh gosh, no, the timing's awful. I've only just come back off maternity leave, and I've got these two children which are, you know, not even in school yet, and I'm not sure it's going to work, you know, maybe next time. And the response I got was, well, there may not be a next time. You know, funding is tight, this is a good opportunity, and if you think you're ever going to do it, you need to do it now. So I very, very rapidly put together an application, literally in sort of 24 hours, and sort of sent it off thinking, well, you know, I've given it a go. And then I was called for interview and was offered the sort of role as a researcher, and with the funding attached. So it was all very whirlwind, and it then sort of sparked, you know, some quite serious discussions with my other half about how we were going to manage, because obviously, you know, the funding was good, but it basically covered my childcare costs. That was really the sort of bottom line for me, that to be able to do it, I would have to be able to cover putting the kids in nursery, because I just couldn't see a way of doing it without them being in some kind of care.
And logistically, you know, your PhD is based at Birmingham.
It is.
How do you manage the weekly... you know,
it's a commute. It is a commute to a certain extent, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I try to spend, you know, a day or two a week up in Birmingham. I have to. I mean, I have to be present for certain things. I have to be involved in some of the teaching, and my field work is up there. So the actual data gathering that I'm doing is based up there. So I do have to go up a couple of days a week. It's not brilliant. it's a 4-hour commute, you know, round trip. But I think the key for me has just been to try not to plan too far ahead, just week by week see where I need to be and just kind of get on with it and deal with it.
In terms of how exciting it is for you to do a PhD, yeah. What bits of it, what would you say to someone who's thinking of doing it in terms of what an amazing experience it is to do one?
Yeah, well, I've always said it's difficult, isn't it? Because you know, you're constantly thinking about how hard it is because, it's a difficult process. It can be very isolating. You're the only person doing this particular type of research. And on a normal basis, it can be quite lonely. But particularly if you're living at a distance and you've got other commitments, it can be difficult. But ultimately, I just feel that it's an incredibly indulgent process. I feel so lucky that I was offered the opportunity to go away and do this, and I think there's something great about coming at it at this stage in my life, because I just feel so grateful for it. I think, had I done it immediately after my degree and master's, I perhaps wouldn't have spent so much time really considering what it's worth and how important it is. Whereas now I really feel like I'm trying to sort of grasp the nettle and make a difference with the research that I'm doing. And I think, it's been key to have the work background that I've had. I worked for sort of 7 or 8 years before doing this, and that's actually bolstered the opportunity. I think made me much more likely to get the role, and I think it gives me a little bit more gravitas with the people that I'm working with. So the subjects of the research, are able to identify with me more because of my work background.
Now, I know you've got to work not just weekend, not just evenings, but often weekends. I mean, of a whole study, I know from seeing you around Fleetfield, you're out with your kids all the time when you're not working. You're juggling a lot. And how do you get the energy to kind of sit down and study or do a paper and engage your brain on an evening or a weekend? How do you do it?
I think it can be hard. It's not. I can't really sit here and say that I've got it sussed. I think that the great thing about having the children is actually they really focus you. So on the days that they're in childcare, my son's actually now in school, so that makes life a bit easier. But I know I've got a set amount of time in which to get stuff done, and actually that can be very motivating in itself, that this is your time, this is when you've got to do it, and you've got to produce something at the end of it. So that, that helps actually. And it also means that on the days off that I have with the children, because although I'm registered as a full-time PhD student, I am doing it part-time because I look after my daughter as well. And then the time that I have with her is, I'm not thinking about the research. So, and when it comes to, evenings and weekends, really that's just linked to deadlines. Yes. PhDs are full of interim deadlines and milestones and people holding you to account. And actually, it's the pure fear of failure, really, that gets me kind of staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning, because I just have to get it done.
Oh, God.
I think it's lovely. Do you know what struck me from this chat is that how it's lovely to be valued for your intellect when you've just had two children, that someone has said, we're going to fund, it's very unusual to have a funded PhD now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just lovely to be valued, isn't it?
Yes, I know. And I think that's why I feel so grateful for the opportunity, actually, because you do feel like it's a complete departure from your home life, which is lovely, really. It's
just
nice
different.
To have, it's, yeah, exactly, it's different.
It's so good to have a bit of both.
Yes.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Jenny, thank you so much for joining us this
welcome.
Evening on The Parent Show. It was a pleasure chatting to you. Welcome back to The Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. Now, next in our list of amazing and inspirational women, we have Sandra Smith and Caroline Ainslie. And they both set out to break a Guinness World Record last weekend. And we're all on tenterhooks. Tell us how it went. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us on The Parent Show.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Well, we didn't actually manage to succeed in breaking the Guinness World Record. However, what we did manage to do was build the world's, as far as we know, the world's largest pyramid or tetrahedron. And that was approximately 6 or 7 metres tall. And that was just purely out of balloons. So that was quite an achievement.
Fantastic, fantastic. Give us a little bit of background about the day, because I had a fantastic chat with you yesterday where you told me about the conditions on the day and why it worked and why it didn't work.
Absolutely. It was very challenging. Well, Caroline and I, at Designer Party, I'm an events organiser, and Caroline's one of my entertainers, Bubbly Maths. We just happened to bump into one another at the Ideal Home exhibition earlier on this year. And Caroline said to me, hey, I've got this wonderful idea of building a balloon pyramid. Would you like to organise the event? So I said, hey, why not? Anything in for a challenge, you know. So we went off to Larks in the Park at Colney Heath at the weekend, and we planned to build this tetrahedron. Our idea was to actually make it 16 metres high. That was the actual aim. 8,192 balloons. We actually inflated all the balloons. We got up on Sunday morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, a team of us, started inflating the balloons at 4:45 and continued inflating them, actually managed to inflate them all. However, we just happened to do it on the hottest day of the year, and unfortunately balloons don't like sun, heat or the wind that was gusting. So we rapidly had to make a decision, and unfortunately it wasn't to break the Guinness World Record, but it was to build the largest one we could, which was approximately 6 or 7 metres high.
It was 6 metres high, a little bit less because it squished down a little.
It wobbled.
And the edges were 8 metres long. And it's the whole intention initially is as a fundraiser. I was looking for ideas for a fundraiser, and because I support an organisation in South Africa that trains teachers to change the lives of children in Africa through education. And I'm like, okay, Guinness World Records, and came up with this idea, but I didn't have the skills to make it happen. And Sandra went, yes, I know you've got the skills to make this happen.
Perfect
so
synergy.
She's absolutely brilliant. The whole idea is to make maths fun. So everything that we've now formed a group called the Pyraloons, who are intent on now breaking Guinness World Records, using balloons in the aid of maths and raising money for this organisation and just generally making maths
fun. If only radio was a visual medium, we're going to take a picture of this amazing balloon that you've made, Caroline, in about 5 seconds. So tell us a little bit about it.
This is 1/1000th of the big part. It's 50 centimetres long. It's a pyramid, a triangular-based pyramid, otherwise known as a Sapinski tetrahedron, because it's made up of 4 smaller pyramids that are 25 centimetres long, and they make a very special shape that's a fractal. As it grows, there's a shape inside, and that shape inside gets bigger. It's like a hollow inside, and that shape is called an octahedron, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you look on the website on www.pyraloons.com, that's P-Y-R-A-L-O-O-N-S, like pyramid and balloons, the beginning of and the end of, you will see lots of different types of Sapinski shapes. They're fractals, and they are really fascinating. They're a great way to get interested in mathematics, and that's what we have resources that go with it and everything. For children to actually enjoy. Bubbly Maths makes maths fun in schools as well as parties.
So I'm sure people who are listening are saying, oh, this is amazing. I mean, I've certainly never come across anything so innovative in terms of, quote, entertainment, unquote. It's absolutely brilliant. It's what parents want. It's something, you know, it's different, isn't it? It's exciting, and children are learning at the same time. So if parents are listening and they think, wow, I'd love to book Caroline for a party, how do they do that?
Well, either they can come to Designer Party, okay, and we're at www.design-a-party.com. We're based in St Albans, so we're a local company. And as Caroline's one of my entertainers, obviously I can put them in touch with Caroline, no problem at all. Or they can go via Bubbly Maths.
It's just bubblymaths.co.uk.
And you're on Facebook, so
on
we can
Facebook.
Read a little bit more about you on that.
Facebook Bubbly Maths page. Yeah. And there's a Pyraloons page, Pyraloons page on Facebook as well. And you'll see lots of amazing pictures and videos that have been bloated
hundreds
up.
Hundreds of pictures up there now that were taken at the weekend, right from conception, you know, the bare balloons, inflating them, all the pictures along the way. There's pictures with the local mayor. We had Bob Barrett from Holby City Hospital. He came down. We've got pictures. That's Dr. Sasha Levy, for those that watch Holby City. He was making our tetrahedrons as well.
Was.
So, you know, everyone worked really hard, as well as many members of the public who actually participated as well. So,
what's
great
the next world record that you're going to try and break?
Well, this is the question. It's under discussion right now. We've got one or two things in the pipeline from various people we met at the weekend as well, some challenges possibly within St Albans, which are under discussion at the moment. So there's plenty of things in the pipeline, and the Pyraloons is such a fantastic group of their balloon modellers and balloon decorators. Most of my, or all of my entertainers anyway, so I use them all on a regular basis. And they just get together, and once they get together, the ideas get going. They're so enthusiastic. They're a crazy lot of people, but fantastic entertainers.
They sound amazing. You know, if you're, what is one of your meetings like? You're making balloons.
It's crazy. It's
absolutely nuts.
You've got someone sitting in the corner making balloons. You've got someone else in another corner because they're magicians as well, so they're sort of twiddling coins in amongst their fingers. Someone else is talking about making bubbles. Oh, there's so many crazy things going on. You know, you never work with children. You never work with animals or children's entertainers.
Or balloons on a hot day.
Yeah,
or balloons on a hot day. They also do bubbles. So there's the normal bubbles. And one of the things we might be looking at, we'll be looking at, is a world record with using bubbles. And also, I do mathematical bubbles as well.
This just gets better.
Mathematical bubbles are absolutely fabulous.
You don't just get circular bubbles, you know. You get bubbles of all different shapes.
Oh, my goodness. Use a little bit. And next, but we will make the 32-metre
the big one, but it will need to be indoors. That's the key thing. We need a nice big aircraft hangar.
You need a big venue.
Absolutely, a big venue.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, sorry, it says, the 16-metre... That's my easy button. we will make the 16-metre tetrahedron. We will make it.
Yep, but it will need to be indoors.
What's this you're holding in your hand, Carla? It looks like a big buzzer with the word easy on it.
It's a challenge.
Part of what I do with the children is I want to reframe the way they feel about maths. A lot of children have negative feelings about maths. And when they come up with something that they might think is silly or stupid, or they even make a mistake, or they have to really work hard at coming to an answer, and they
press
just
the button.
As a reward, they get to press the button.
That was easy.
And they love it. They absolutely love it. It went off in my bag, so I thought I'd pull it out. I carry it around with me.
What else have you got stored in there?
Don't ask.
Can I just jump to one thing that we were talking to Sandra and Caroline outside, and you said a new phrase that, excuse my ignorance, I've never heard it before, but edutainment.
Mm-hmm. Edutainment.
Tell us a little bit about edutainment.
So edutainment is... There's science parties are quite well known already in their edutainment. It's children enjoying learning, enjoying the process of learning. And edutainment with mathematics is we use soap bubbles and balloons. Mm-hmm. So children are engaged and enjoying it. And the way that we phrase questions is not, we don't tell them information. We ask. We seek it from it. Yeah, they investigate it. And so they're learning without even knowing it. They're playing. They're enjoying it. And they're learning a lot. We use the correct vocabulary, so it's not random. It's like, oh, well, that looks like something. We know what it is. We use the correct vocabulary with them, and they just learn it by playing.
Fantastic. That's amazing. Thank you so much, Sandra Smith and Caroline Ainsley,
well done,
for joining
ladies.
Us this evening from Design a Party and Bubble Maths.
Thank you.
Our minds are
bubbly maths.
Bubbly maths. Thank
bubbly,
you.
Bubbly
thank
maths.
You. Oh, I better fix that on Facebook. Thank you. Thanks a million. Have a lovely evening.
Thank you.
92.6 FM.
Welcome back to The Parents Show on Radio Verulam, 92.6 FM. And tonight's show is all about inspirational women. Inspirational mothers,
mummies.
Not just women. That's the most important thing. So we've had just one fantastic story after another about what women have achieved. And now on the line, speaking to us from France, we've got Kathleen Ball, who's a mum of two from Hemel Hempstead. And she is currently doing an epic cycle challenge from London to Paris in aid of the Hospice of St. Francis in Berkhamsted. Kathleen, are you there?
I'm here in France, a bit saddle sore, but delighted to join you.
Are you still alive, Kathleen?
Yes, well, I'm in one piece. It has been an epic journey so far. We've done 2 days and 163 miles from London to Dover across the Channel, and from Calais to Abbeville today. So it's been quite an undertaking so far.
I bet. What an amazing thing to do. And how many miles have you got left to go?
Well, the total mileage is 300, so we're just over halfway to Paris. So we've got 2 more days, so we will cycle into Paris on Saturday afternoon, down the Champs-Élysées, and we will finish under the Eiffel Tower.
How exciting.
Amazing.
And what's the weather like? Is it too hot?
Well, ironically, the weather in the UK yesterday was fantastic, and we've had absolutely dire weather today in France. We've had driving rain, winds and fog. So it's been a really miserable day too, but morale is high. It's a very inspiring group of people we're with, all riding for a British hospice of their choice. So there are some very moving and uplifting personal stories of loss, and everyone has their individual reasons for riding. So it despite the weather, it's a really fantastic cause and a really moving experience.
And what's the forecast for tomorrow? Will it be an easier day?
Yes, it's meant to be a little bit warmer tomorrow, and they've promised us some sunshine. So, yeah, we're hoping for some better weather tomorrow.
I bet. Yeah, absolutely. And tell us, Kathleen, how are you managing this with two young children? How do you do it?
Well, it is really hard. I think what's difficult in preparing for a charity challenge as major as this, where you have to ride 300 miles in 4 days, it's the training. So obviously the event itself is difficult to manage, because you've got to organise childcare for 4 or 5 days while you're away. So I'm very fortunate to have parents-in-law who can help on that side. But it's been very difficult making the time around the school run, around a part-time job, and also fitting in the training. So I think it's a case of the classic stereotypical thing that mums are meant to be good at, of multitasking.
Well, you're definitely showing us how to do that. And Kathleen, we really want to get in. If people want to donate to your fundraising, please let us know the details. What are they if people want to find out more about what you're doing and why?
Yes, absolutely. Well, there are 124 riders on this particular ride, riding for a British hospice of their choice, and there's actually 36 of that group riding for the Hospice of St. Francis, which is absolutely staggering and really, really moving. If people would like to donate to the ride, my own ride in aid of the hospice, the donation will go directly 100% to the hospice's fantastic free care that it provides for patients and their loved ones facing the crisis of life-limiting illness. That can be done via Vodafone Just Text Giving. So all that's needed is a text to VOOM, V-O-O-M, 99, VOOM 99, and then a pound sign and the amount of people's choice, whether 2, 5 or 10 pounds. So just a text, VOOM 99, and the amount to 770. And that will go a very long way to helping us get through the pain of the next 2 days, and helping the hospice provide its amazing free care for the local community.
Well, listen, Kathleen, you're a total inspiration, and we're really rooting for you. We'll be with you in spirit under the Tour de Fell.
That's very lovely, and I will pass that on to the group. About half of them are amazing mums, so I will definitely be passing that on. Thank you so much.
Thanks
for your support.
Thanks a million. Take care.
Thanks for joining us, Kathleen.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, we've had one amazing mum after another on the show. Absolutely fantastic. There's and from so many different angles, and just managing to make it juggle and make it work.
And there's definitely something for everybody in this show. If you've got an idea, no matter what it is, lots of advice on you skilling up with someone else. You don't need to be alone doing these things.
Yeah.
Kathleen was with someone. I mean, everyone had a sort of a partner or a team behind them helping them, and it's possible, isn't it, to do whatever you are driving towards?
Well, that's the message that comes out of tonight's show. You know, it is possible if you
just do it.
Just do it. Just if you've got an idea, get out there and do it.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor the Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.